From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. What a program we have for you tonight. Next hour, we talk about the Book of Revelation. Emerging artists, first couple hours tonight. Info at coasttocoastam.com. Here's what's happening. How cold is it? Brr. For a lot of people, 140 million Americans, the National Weather Service warning that much of the United States will see this week as the coldest in almost 20 years as Arctic cold fronts descend on 140 million people. Unbelievable. Temperatures expected to be 30 to 50 degrees below average in some places. At least 16 people have died. Sunday's weather had a huge impact on travel, with close to 3,000 flights originating in or heading to the United States canceled. Just unbelievable. My family in St. Louis feels like they got dumped with a foot of snow. I think they're still out there shoveling away. Super volcanoes like Yellowstone can explode without an earthquake or other external trigger, according to experts. That's not good news. The sheer volume of liquid magma is enough to cause a catastrophic super eruption. There are about 20 known super volcanoes on Earth, including Yellowstone. The last time Yellowstone erupted was about 600,000 years ago, and they say it's overdue. Visitors to Yahoo's web pages who viewed ads the past days are potentially at risk of having their computers infected by malware. What does that mean? Let's check in with the expert on the internet, Lauren Weinstein. What happened, Lauren?
Well, it appears that Yahoo's ad serving network, which serves up third-party ads, became infected with either one ad or multiple ads that were malicious. And so those ads, under certain circumstances, were able to infect apparently about 9% of the people that viewed them. Now, the good news here is that it turns out, we learned later in the day, that those particular ads were targeted. That's good news for North America, I should put it this way. They were not targeted at North America. They were targeted at Europe and other parts of the world. So in the U.S., you're probably safe. If you're in other parts of the world, it's not a good situation. But the bad news, really, for everybody, is that this kind of exploit is going through Java
It's getting through
the Java system. And really, what people should consider doing, and almost every browser now, if not every one modern browser, lets you do this, you should consider disabling Java in your browser, and only in general disable it. And if possible, only enable it. Some browsers will let you do this site by site, only for those sites that you trust where you absolutely need to use Java. A lot of these exploits are getting in through Java on PCs, so it should be absolutely minimized how much you use it.
Let me ask you this, too, technically, Lorne. Yeah. Let's use Google as an example. The regular Google, if you use and you want to go to YouTube, you don't get some of the some of the things you're looking for. But if you go to Google Chrome, it works. How is that? Why?
There shouldn't be any difference under normal conditions, because the Google search engine itself, and keeping in mind here, I do consult.
Right, I understand.
I want to make that clear. There's no real difference in that. I think sometimes there's some confusion because if people are using personalization in their search, the search engine is going to try to come up with things that are going to be more relevant to them. But normally that's not related to how you're doing it, which browser you're using. But of course, if you're using the history, if you're using the history features of your browser and things like that, there's going to be more references and things that are involved.
Super.
So, but under normal conditions, if you walk up to a computer and do the same kind of search in the same location, you're going to get similar search results under most conditions.
And Lauren, as we roll into the new year, I want to thank you for everything you've done for the Coast to Coast audience. I mean, you have been just superb.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. And it's always been great to be on the show. And anytime I can be of any assistance, I'm more than happy to. And I want to take this opportunity to wish you a happy new year and the entire audience a great 2014 as well.
Super. 40 years after the movie The Exorcist scared the living daylights out of us, the Roman Catholic Church is training up a new generation of priests to meet a growing demand for exorcisms. Dioceses across Italy, as well as countries as Spain, are increasing the number of priests schooled and administering the rite of exorcism, fabled to rid people of possession by demons. The rise in demonic cases is a result, they say, of more people dabbling in practices such as black magic, paganism, satanic rites, and the Ouija board. So be careful. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos was flown by helicopter from a cruise ship in the Galapagos Islands for medical attention after suffering intense pain because of a kidney stone. That story we've been following, the crop formation in California, is taking a new twist. Let's check in with investigative reporter from earthfiles.com, Linda Moulton Howe. What's going on, Linda?
Well, George, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas is each January. It's international, and it's renowned for electronics and technology, like a trade show attracting major companies and industry professionals worldwide. And tonight, at its opening at 8 p.m. Pacific, with a live cast on the computer as well, it was opened by chip maker NVIDIA Corporation CEO Jensen Huang. They are based in Santa Clara, California. For 90 minutes, he described how NVIDIA's new Tegra K1 chip with 192 central cores is revolutionizing visual quality in games and other applications. And then finally, he said that he had a confession, quote, and this is from the CEO of NVIDIA just a few minutes ago. Quote, Tegra K1, and he's showing an image on the big screen, is impossibly advanced, like out of this world. It's practically made by aliens. I want a promotion launch that will have global reach, but no marketing budget. So yes, it is true. NVIDIA is behind this phenomenon, 310 feet in diameter crop circle in Barley in Chular, California.
Disappointing scoundrels.
Well, yes, and it started for me this morning when I emailed you that I had gotten information that the local Bay NBC affiliate had put out a news piece that said, quote, we were originally tipped off by an anonymous source who said Silicon Valley chipmaker NVIDIA was behind the crop circle in Chular, and that tonight, January 5th, that there would be a so-called confession. And so that began the dominoes falling today of everyone trying to find out more. But also, standing back from this, and I think this has been a very valuable experience, what we all have been learning about the intelligence of people out there who, confronted with a mystery like this, have come up with some of the more fascinating avenues of research, no matter what, and that even if this is a promotion, I would like to see if NVIDIA would show us all how they did it.
Well, that is a great idea, Linda, because
I'm going to try to see if I can get some inside story, video, photos, and do a whole story. We could do something that would be Earth Files and Coast and show everyone how this amazing promotion came about.
Super. Linda, thanks. And Linda, you can track Linda's work at earthfiles.com. In 33 years of forecasting trends, the Trends Research Institute has never seen a new year that will witness severe economic hardship, social unrest on one hand, and deep philosophic enlightenment and personal enrichment on the other. It's an incredible story. And Gerald Celente from the Trends Journal joins us next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. Gerald Celente is the founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. It is the number one trend analyst business out there. And he, of course, regularly comes on Coast to Coast. And we're going to take a glimpse at 2014 as we are rolling into it now. Gerald, welcome back. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, and thanks for having me on.
So the Trends Journal talks about how, on one hand, it's going to be a disaster for some, but incredible for others. Where does the middle class fit in with that?
Well, here's the news. Everybody knows it's not working. You look at the polls. I mean, the latest polls show that, you know, the world is looking at America now at a 40-year low. In the States, 70% of the people don't have any faith in government to pull off anything intelligent. And it's one after another. So what's the bright light? Well, you have to look around the world, and you could see it shining everywhere. People are in protest, whether it's in Thailand as we speak, there are hundreds of thousands of people on the streets.
Jeez.
Bangladesh, Cambodia, I mean, you just keep going around the world, Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, people, Italy, the pitchfork movement, it's nonstop.
We saw what happened in Greece.
And we're seeing what's happening in Greece. Here's our forecast. There's going to be some rough patches, but we believe, and this is a trend that I'm telling you tonight that I have not repeated anywhere else, and we're going to be writing about it very shortly, but I wanted to give Coast to Coast listeners a heads up on it, because it's up to all of us to make it happen as well. And it's called a self-sufficiency economy. We keep hearing about people talking about survivalism.
Yeah.
And on and on. It's bigger than that. We, George, are one of the richest nations in the world. And when you look at our human and natural resources, they're unparalleled.
Sure.
We still have that innovative spirit. I mean, China would not be China if the deal wasn't this. Yeah, we'll make your stuff really cheaply, they said to us, but we want your technology as well. And we sold it to them. We gave it to them for pennies on the yuan. Self-sufficiency economies. And that means a looking back and a changing to go back to where we were to move forward. So that means that, no, this was not globalization. It wasn't free markets. I mentioned about Bangladesh and Cambodia. The reason that they're rioting in the streets is the people are tired of working for nothing. They're tired of being slaves. And we're buying, you know, I have in front of me a piece of glassware from my aunt Zizi, may her soul rest in peace. I turned it over and it says, Syracuse, New York.
You don't get that anymore.
No. Remember Sunbeam, when they used to make stuff here?
Yeah.
We need to, not only us, but every economy needs to be a self-sufficiency economy. The only people that are benefiting from free trade or globalization, I call it multinationalization. They're the only ones that are benefiting from it. Our standard of living, and I'm not making this up, you could go, everybody could go do their Googling, has declined dramatically since NAFTA. It has declined dramatically since they did away with the Glass-Steagall Act, which regulated banking. It declined dramatically since they took off the tariffs, Clayton Antitrust, Sherman Antitrust, and Robson-Pabman Acts. So the big trend that we see as we're watching all of these protests, and the word, they call it something different in every country, but it's under the title of populism. We believe the demands are going to be, and the political classes that are going to rise the highest and the fastest are the ones that promote self-sufficiency economies.
And it's doable, isn't it?
George, there's 316 million of us. And again, we're the richest nation in the world, natural resources and human resources. Why do we have to buy? Who's benefiting from this, buying this stuff from other countries? Again, don't listen to me. Anybody could do the facts and look at them. Hey, corporate profits are at an all-time high. And who are these corporations? Well, you know, forget who they are. It doesn't make any difference, but they're not us.
They're not us.
So what I'm saying is that, and again, going back to Italy, the pitchfork movement, whether they have made in Sicily, made in Italy, The stamps are going on everything.
How long would it take us to tool up again, to start building,
I think it could happen in a year. We have everything here that we need. We have the brain power, the man and woman power, and we have the financial power, and we have the resources. But what people have to they also have to say, and you see the studies, no, we're not saving money by going to Walmart. We're not saving money by these low wages. Actually, we're subsidizing them with food stamps and other benefits because they're not making much. So, yeah, we may pay a little bit more for something, but we'll earn a lot more for making it. We need to keep our production and our capacity at home. And actually, it all goes back to the roots of this country. It's what the founding fathers believed in. Hey, remember no foreign entanglements?
That's right. That's right. And there are many empty factories around this country, Gerald, that they can use.
Oh, you mentioned St. Louis. I mean, look at all the Rust Belt all over this country.
Yeah.
And we have the manpower and woman power. We're not stupid. We know how to do things. They keep diminishing us to make us seem as though we're not capable of doing it. And then the politicians, I love it, they always say in election time, no worker is greater than the American worker. Well, why'd you ship our jobs overseas?
I had a Navy buddy, Gerald, who was with me in the Navy, and he worked as an executive at Bethlehem Steel. And last week I got a call from someone in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, just a general open line call. But it dawned on me at one point, they were making steel in that city like crazy, and they don't make it at all anymore. Thousands of jobs gone because of that.
Do you know, when I was a young man, my first real job was about 1972, I bought stock in Bethlehem Steel. That's how much, I mean, I love this country. Yeah. I believe in this country.
It was a great company at the time.
It was a great company, and there were many great companies. And again, the names, the Sunbeams, you go up and down the list. The company names are still there, but they're not making the product here.
Are they making the steel in China now and sending it here?
I don't know. But I would believe so. But again, this word, this term, self-sufficiency economy, it's when we all talk about survivalism, it's really bringing it to the next level. Now, we don't have to survive on our own. We don't have to pack our guns and gold in a getaway plan like I have. We need to work together. We are the greatest nation on earth when you look at our resources and our technology. So that's the positive trend. On the negative ends, if we could, again, let's pretend that I'm a senator or a congressman. I'm going to freak out this year. We're going to have a fiscal cliff. Oh, no, that was the year before. We're going to have a debt ceiling this year. We're going to close down the government. We're going to launch a $1 trillion, $1 billion program. We're going to call it Obamacare, and it's going to fail. The systems are going to fail. Look what they're talking about now, George. They're talking about going back. You have McCain and Graham talking about going back into Iraq. How many more failures do we have to be proven that they have to show us before we take the future in our own hands? So what I'm saying is, here's the future as it's unfolding now. The big news, of course, is the Fed pulling back on the stimulus.
Right.
Tapering. Here's our forecast. You're already seeing the problems emerging in China. You're looking at the Shanghai. You're looking at the Asian indexes. They're all falling. You're looking at the numbers coming in. They're terrible. China's facing a bubble. The only reason places like Indonesia, Brazil, all these emerging nations benefited was from the cheap money flowing out of our country that was making high demand for their assets. That's reversed now. Their currencies are crashing. So now we're going into January. At the end of January, will they taper again? We don't know, but we believe they will, because they cannot continue this cheap money game. Again, the game is ending as we're speaking in China.
Hold on, Gerald. We're going to take this quick break. We're going to come right back and talk with you about 2014 predictions, and we'll take some phone calls with the Trendmaster, Gerald Celente, here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, back with Gerald Celente, the trends expert. Trendsresearch.com is his website. We'll take your calls in just a second. So give us that glimpse into 2014, Gerald. What does this year look like?
Okay, on the economy, as I was saying, the Fed, it looks like they're going to announce another round of tapering following its late January meeting. That means the global equity markets are going to dramatically decline since it was the flood of cheap money stimulus that juiced these emerging market assets. And we're already seeing that slow down. Then we go to China, and they're faced with a debt problem that mirrored ours back in 2008. You're looking at shadow banking, where people are spending like 40% on loans just to keep this thing going. They have a bubble that they cannot deflate. They're caught in a real bind. Because if they raise interest rates already, again, the data coming out as we speak, China's in a slowdown mode. If they raise interest rates, it only gets worse. So what does it mean? We believe that after this failed attempt at tapering, they're going to invent another stimulus program.
Uh-huh.
They'll call it something else, of course, because who ever heard of quantitative easing?
That's right.
Before they invented that one, you know.
Huh.
And what that means is that's when the real crisis is going to happen. You look, George, and you again, you know, coming out of places like the Wall Street Journal, and they wrote about Andrew Huszar, who was a Fed official. Back in November, and this Fed official said he was sorry because he realized that all this quantitative easing, it didn't help Main Street. His words were, quote, it was the greatest backdoor Wall Street bailout of all time. So they're going to so it hasn't worked. So they're going to come up with another stimulus program. When that happens, we forecast the next round of stimulus, you're going to see gold and silver prices go further than they were after they fell back from 1921 back in September of 2011.
Wow. And silver could be a great buy.
Yes, silver and gold.
I agree with that. Let's take a few calls here, Gerald, and we'll talk more about 2014. Max is in Chicago, Illinois. How cold is it, Max?
I kind of like it. It's about 0, minus 5, 10, 8. I don't know. These people today, I'll tell you, I grew up, you know, I remember the big snowstorms in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, me too.
We used to go out and have fun and play in it, and I played hockey growing up, and it's cold, but it's not like the end of the world or anything. I think people have just become soft.
And it lasts a week, and it warms up.
Yeah, you know, we need to kill off some of them bugs anyway. But I wanted to say it's a real honor to talk to Gerald Celente. He's one of my heroes, along with the great George Norrie, of course.
Ah.
But here's my take, Gerald. I agree with you, you know, like I always do. But here's the problem. You got a bunch of lazy people who don't know what it's like to roll up their sleeves and be, you know, take the situation by the horns. And you got a government that's not going to allow it because, like John Boehner said, we don't want any of our members of our club to interfere with our little cozy arrangement. So I agree with you that we do have the capacity to take our country back and make it great again, but I just don't see it with the attitude of the people and the control that this government has over us. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you, Max. I lived in Chicago back in the late 70s, by the way, when they had those storms that were so bad that Mayor Blandick lost because they couldn't clean the streets. And you're right. Everybody cries like little, you know, it's snowing, make sure you stay warm. But going back to what you said, yeah, I agree with you but not all the people are like that. We have a lot of great people in this country and a lot of people that really care and a lot of, you know, and the kind of station that I'm on now with people like George Norrie. There are a lot of us and we could make the difference. It takes, I believe, 20% to make a difference. And you know, there was a quote by Eisenhower, and I think he got it partially right. He said, "Our American heritage is threatened as much by our own indifference as it is by the most unscrupulous office or by the most powerful foreign threat." And then he went on to say, "The future of this republic is in the hands of the American voter." And when I said he got it partially right, because who do you vote for? We have, as you mentioned about Boehner, saying it's a club. It's a club. And by the way, I began working for the club. I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County in the early 70s, and I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. So I know what it looks like, and it has to change, and it's changing. They just had an election in India. In India, 1 billion people, out of nowhere, the Common Man Party came out and disrupted the whole race. And their platform was to stop the corruption. And we can do the same thing here. And what they keep doing is they keep beating us down, saying that, you know, we don't have the power. We can't do it. We have to be victims. And I don't believe that. I believe in Eisenhower.
Next up, we go to Milford, Connecticut. Eric's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Eric. Thanks for calling. You with us? Eric has been hit by a snowstorm. But we'll go to Davenport, Iowa. Let's try you, George. Go ahead.
You know, Gerald, you were a little optimistic about doing it in a year. I did a study for the Army called the Industrial Base Under Siege. And at that point in time in the 1980s, we couldn't mobilize in under probably 4 years for a Korean level war. We just didn't have the capacity. We had so degraded the base.
How do you react to that, Joel? Do you think we can turn that around?
Well, that does it two different things. You're talking about war in the Army. And I'm talking about, you want to talk about the war? Look at this country during World War II. Look at those old movies, those old film clips. Look at the patriotism that we had. Look at the can-do spirit that we have. Now that I don't believe it's lost. I just believe that the people in power, it's foreign to them. Because again, and I'm not saying this is, you know, by pointing fingers and just, you know, making unnecessary or unqualified claims, they fail at everything that they do. Whether it's the war on drugs, the war in Afghanistan or Iraq, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's health care, whether it's education, and I'm saying we need a new way. And this country was founded on a new way. And when I'm saying it could happen in a year, yes, I believe with the right leadership and the right motivation and the right people behind it and enough people behind it, we can see this country turning around where we become a self-sufficient economy.
I think so too. Gerald, as we get toward the end of 2014, I really want you to go out on a limb here. What's that fourth quarter going to look like?
Well, economically, again, if we continue to go on the same path that we're on, it's not going to look good. Because, again, George, you look at the numbers, and I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, you look at, you know, with the 1%. If I said this kind of stuff 10 years ago, they'd call you a radical or a socialist. But, I mean, it even comes out of, you know, Bloomberg, the Wall Street Journal, CNBC. The top 1% own over 50% of the nation's wealth. Again, when you listen, again, regardless of who you go to, they're all saying that the stimulus has only happened has helped a few. So we're going to go through a very rough period, I believe, by the fourth quarter, and that people should start preparing for it now. Again, you know, I was on your show. You had me on Black Friday, just before Black Friday, and right after the holiday. And I said that not to expect much. And then after the new year, after the holiday season, George, it's hardly been reported how dismal the retail sales were. You know, they made a big deal about Black Friday, but hey, what happened with retail sales? They were basically flat.
Yes, they were.
And now here's what's going on. Now we're being, and again, you put all the pieces together, and I'm not making this up. You look at what happened when Obama promised that he would not raise taxes when he was running for president in 2012. After he got elected, they raised Social Security taxes. What happened? Retail sales took a hit. Now people are being forced to buy Obamacare. And you're looking at the bronze program, the cheapest one, and the deductible for families around $12,000 and for a single person around $6,000. So that's by buying Obamacare and then being forced to use it when you need it, you're also going to put a drain on retail sales. And then as we look at the global picture, I've been at this since 1980. You go around the world and look what's going on. Let's talk about Turkey. Oh, the lira is crashing over there at an all-time low. They're ready to overthrow the government. They're in their second round, began in the summer, of demonstrations and protests. You go to the Sudan, they broke the country up into north and south. Now there's a civil war going on. You go to Central Africa, there's a war going on. You go to Egypt, it's a civil war. And in the United States, they still don't call it a military coup, even though the military took over the government. You go to Yemen, you go to Bahrain. I mentioned the demonstrations that are going on continually in Italy, in Spain, in Greece, in Portugal. You look at what's going on in Argentina, in Brazil. You look at the protests going on right south of the border over here in Mexico that they hardly report on because of the privatization of the oil fields. I mentioned Bangladesh and Cambodia and Thailand. Oh, and then there's Japan. How could I forget Japan? They're all agitated with Japan because Abe keeps going to the shrine where they allegedly have war criminals from World War II.
Oh, he's driving people nuts, isn't he?
I know, and they're remilitarizing. Oh, and then there's the South China Sea and East China Sea incidents with Vietnam, Philippines, and Japan. And then, of course, going back to China. George, they're not reporting on what is happening with their economy. They have a credit squeeze going on. The new Prime Minister Xi is trying to rein it in, and they cannot stop it. And then you look again. You're looking at, here in New York, you're seeing apartment prices in the city hitting all-time highs. They're up over 40% in London.
It's amazing.
So this is what's happening, this gap between the rich and the poor, and most of these protests that I talked about, where I named all these countries, they're populism movements.
Gerald, when you talk about silver, it's down to about $20 an ounce now, isn't it? Something like that?
Yeah.
My gosh, is it going to go much lower?
Here's my forecast on gold. Gold to me only has $100 to $150 down. And when you look at it, oh, that's the other thing. We're talking two different markets over here because one is the paper market. And then again, anybody can do this. Look at demand coming out of Asia for gold particularly. It's skyrocketing. And I mentioned the problems that they're having, particularly places like India, where the cheap money really fueled their boom. Now you have their rupee crashing. And what are they doing? The government is making the Indian government, and the Indians love gold as much as
curry. Yes, they do.
They're making it almost impossible to buy gold in India. They keep raising taxes, putting more tariffs on it, more restrictions, and it has become the biggest black market item in probably the recent history of India because they will not stop buying it. Oh, and then you look at the numbers coming out. And again, Wall Street Journal, you know, major media. Physical demand for gold and silver in the American mints spiking at an all-time high last year. So the people are still buying it, but the paper markets are being manipulated. And again, that is not That's not conspiracy theory because, after all, George, they rigged the LIBOR rate. That's a fact. And the LIBOR rate is the interest rate at the tune of $700 trillion since they started rigging it. They're rigging the Forex market. I'm not making that up. It's a fact. That's the currency markets. And now, of course, they're looking in, finally, are they rigging the gold market? They're rigging the gold market because what I mentioned in China, what I mentioned in India, what I mentioned in the United States, everybody that is watching what's going on are concerned about the fiat currencies. And that's why they're going to buy gold and silver.
Next up, let's go west of the Rockies, Douglas in Sacramento. Hey, Douglas, thanks for calling.
Thank you, George. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi there.
Gerald, I'd like to hear your take on, I hear this thing about Bitcoin, and I'd like to hear your take about on that. But when you talk about bringing, you know, the ingenuity back into the United States as far as, you know, jobs and stuff, farming has just, like, for me, I would think farming, like you always talked about, like farmers markets and stuff like that. Do you think farming would be something that would, you know, as an answer to something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. As a matter of fact, one of the groups right over here, more than 100 feet, you know, across the street, they just bought 700 acres of a farm over here, and they're doing sustainable farming. And it's becoming very big.
It's a lot of acreage.
Yeah. And so a lot of but again, the government makes it very, very difficult for that to happen. As for Bitcoins, you're seeing it now. It just took another spike. Again, without giving financial advice, because I don't, to me, it's another fiat currency. And it's not transparent enough. And I think, you know, for me, again, only speaking for myself, we did a major story in the Trends Journal on it. I'm not a fan of it. It's just not enough there for me to watch what's going on. And I could see the fluctuations. It was down. It took like a $300 hit when they had a slowdown. The Chinese government stopped people from buying it. And now, again, it's back over $1,000 within a day. So it's just too volatile for me.
Gerald, Bitcoins, as we were talking about, is digital, and China is kind of trying to ban it. But, you know, this thing may take off.
I know. That's what I was saying. I don't know. You know, it's up in the air. But again, what's really behind it? And the transparency.
It's dangerous, isn't it?
I believe it's not for me. Now, I'll stay with gold and silver. They've been around a lot longer than Bitcoin. And who knows? Again, look what's going on in the whole internet market. Look what's going on with Twitter. I mean, the stock is skyrocketing, and they're not making any profit. I mean, I've been around. I've heard this one before. I remember the dot-com bubble. And you're seeing the same thing with a lot of these companies that aren't showing the profit as to the valuation of their stock. And to me, Bitcoin is too up in the air for me to put a grasp on. But other people really believe in it, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying for me, I just can't put a handle on it.
Next up, we go to our wild card. No, let's go to Douglas in Glendale, West Virginia first, east of the Rockies. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Hello. What was your input on platinum and palladium, and also what do you think about the idea that the government will confiscate gold and silver and best way to protect yourself?
Hold on for a second, Gerald. I'm going to hold you over for a little bit, okay? Do you have time for us?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to do that. Gerald, too many people are calling.